Hallelujah. We worship you today, oh great God. We magnify you and we thank you for your power and your deliverance, your spirit that is in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We worship you, oh great God. We thank you that your power to bring about change is in this sanctuary today. God, your spirit is moving and we feel your presence, oh God. We feel your presence, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 You've got to know today that if he can change everything, if there's a God that can change everything, that means he can change anything. Everything is the big picture. There's anything we know he can change. But I want you to know he can change not only everything, but he can change anything that you're going through, anything that you're up against. That's why his power is in this place right now. Would you just worship him one more time? Would you just entertain his presence? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you, God. We worship you, Lord. We magnify your holy name. That's it. Let's just do that for a moment. We glorify you, Jesus. We lift you up. There is no name like your name. There is no God like you. You are great. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The book of John, chapter number 20. John, chapter 20. I'm going to read four verses of scripture. If you're here today and you look around and this type of response to church in a church is unique or unusual to you, if this seems a bit strange or unusual, let me tell you, we're not crazy. Some may be strange, but we're not crazy. We believe in a God whose power is real. We believe in a God whose power is available. And his power is not just available to a handful of religious elite, but we believe that this God is available and his power is available to anyone who reaches out to him, anyone who is hungry for him, anyone who has a desire to encounter him. And I sense that desire in this place right now. There's a desire to encounter Jesus. And if you're here this morning and you have never encountered him like that for yourself, you're in a great place. If you're here this morning and you have never been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, with the Bible evidence of speaking in other tongues, you are missing out on the greatest experience you can have on planet Earth. It is when the glory of God, the power of God, comes to dwell in your life. And it's evidenced by speaking in a heavenly language. It's not a Pentecostal thing. It's not a harvest ministry church thing. It's not a thing that belongs to a particular denomination or religious group. It is a Bible thing, and it's for anybody and everybody. It's for every single believer on planet Earth, anybody who wants it and is hungry for it, and it's available in this place today. John chapter 20 and verse number 25, the other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side," he said, "I will not believe." And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he to Thomas, "Reach," everybody say, "reach, hither thy finger, and behold my hands." And he said it again. Everybody say, "Reach, reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And the result of Thomas's reach was that he simply replied, "My Lord and my God. I want to preach to you for just a few minutes this morning that you can see for yourself. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take Pastor McCoy's word for it. You don't have to take a denomination's word for it. But you can see for yourself that the power of God is real, and the power of God is in this place, and the power of God is available to you. Would you just continue in this same vein of prayer and of worship right now? Would you just lift up your voice, and would you just ask Jesus to move? Come on, all across this room, would you just lift up your voice and say, Jesus, move. Come on, that's it. If you're reaching out to him, just keep reaching out to him. If you're praying, just keep right on praying. You're not going to bother me a bit. Go ahead, just reach out to him in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray right now by the power of your Spirit that you would do a work in this place that only you can do, that you would fill somebody with your power, that you would fill somebody with your glory in the name of Jesus. Hear me today. Today is your day. Today is your day. Reach out to him right now with your prayer. Reach out to him right now with your hunger. It's your day. God wants to touch you and change you today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, set your power free in this place. Let it have free work and reign among your people in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Just stay in that mind of prayer. You can be seated. The setting of our text is that Jesus Christ has been crucified and Jesus Christ has been buried. In chapters 19 and 20 of St. John, he was brutally crucified and buried for all to see. And now in chapter 20, he rose again. And the Bible said, just as he predicted, just as he said he would, he rose again. He has now begun appearing to disciples and showing himself to some, everybody say some, of the believers. He has shown himself to some of them. And now these events all happening post-resurrection, post-crucifixion, as he shows himself to some of the disciples. And the setting of our text is that they are gathered together. The disciples are gathered together in a room and they are testifying of their experience with the resurrected Savior. They're sharing the good news that he's done what he said he would do. They're gathered together in a room and they're telling one another, Jesus Christ has done exactly what he said he would do. Aren't you thankful that we've got a God that keeps his word? We've got a God that comes through on his promises. They're gathered together and they're testifying of their experience. And here's the situation, the setting is that not everyone has witnessed him. Not everyone has seen him. Not everyone has encountered the resurrected Savior. But there are some that have seen. And all the disciples apparently are together. And they're sharing their experience. But the reality is that only some of them had that experience. And others had not. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt a little left out? Have you ever been in a situation where you felt a little outnumbered? Some of you, I could see it on your eyes. You were feeling a little that way earlier in this service when people were dancing and worshiping God. And I looked around and I saw some of your faces and you were like this. These people are a bit strange. Thomas, the Bible says, is one of the disciples that is in this room. And while others had seen him, Thomas had not seen him. While others had encountered the resurrected one, Thomas had not encountered him. And I would submit to you today that this man by the name of Thomas, whose story in part we just read, Thomas gets a bad reputation that I, for one, do not feel he deserves. Thomas gets a bad rap for this text and what transpires here. But the reality, if you'll give me a couple of minutes to unpack this text this morning, I'm going to prove to you that the reality is Thomas is really not much different than you and I. Oh, okay, some of you are saying, no, you're too spiritual for that. Okay, Let me just confess for myself. Thomas happens to be a lot like your preacher sometimes. Some of you getting real quiet. My God, in heaven help us. We used to bring faith-filled preachers to this church. What in the world? We've got an evangelist now that just identified with Thomas. We have a problem with that. We have a problem with that. Why? Because we've even got a nickname for Thomas. We teach it to kids in Sunday school. What's his name? What's his name? We call him Doubting Thomas. Doubting Thomas. Never is he called Doubting Thomas as scripture, but we call him Doubting Thomas. And it's just a side note, but I find it interesting that human nature is very quick to attach labels. Attach labels to people's lives. And I don't know about you, but I, for one, am thankful that my life doesn't have to be labeled according to my moments of weakness or the times I've stumbled or the times I've fallen or the times I've failed. The reality is, let me give you a little perspective. We call him Doubting Thomas, and he is the whipping boy of Sunday school lessons. But let me just tell you, Thomas was not some backslidden reprobate. Thomas was not some carnal pagan man far from God. Thomas was one of the 12. Thomas was one of the hand selected by Jesus. Thomas was not some outsider. Thomas was an insider. And Thomas wasn't just an insider. Thomas was on Jesus' inner circle. He was one of the elite. He was one of the few. So I don't think we should talk so flippantly about someone that Jesus hand selected and hand chose. Can I turn this around for just a second? We've got to be careful that as believers, we don't label people according to their weaknesses and their shortcomings. I think that's worth saying again. We got to be careful as the church that we don't label people's lives according to their moments of weakness, their failures, and their shortcomings. Because the Bible says such were some of you. We've all had weak moments in our life. We've all had bad days. We've all had bad thoughts. We've all stumbled and fallen once or twice, at least in our life. But thank God for a church that you don't have to be labeled, but thank God for a church that you can be born again, that you can have new life, a fresh start, a new beginning. Doubting Thomas. You know what? Let's do something monumental here this morning, okay? Let's make a memory right here at Harvest Ministries, right here on this Sunday, February 3rd, right? Let's mark it down. We're gonna make a memory here. My friend Mark always says, "Let's make memories." So let's make a memory. Let's make a memory right here. Let's rename Thomas. Okay. Let's rename Thomas once and for all. Okay. Instead of calling him Doubting Thomas, I submit to you that we start calling him Honest Thomas. Can I mess with you a little bit? I'm going to tweak your theology a little bit, okay? In a biblical fashion. Because the reality is, Thomas, you can chastise him for his doubt all you want. And Jesus himself would later offer explanation. But can I tell you, the reality is, Thomas was a guy that was pretty honest. Because while others in the room, he was not the only one that had not experienced Jesus. And while others in the room may have been content and completely satisfied to just take your word for it, Thomas said, "You know what? I'm going to go on record and I'm going to tell you that I've got to experience this for myself. I've got to see this for myself. I've got to touch him for myself. self. We call him Doubting Thomas, but it is it all right here this morning? Is it okay? Are we okay if we just rebrand him this morning? Pastor, we okay? We can rename Thomas this morning, and we're going to start calling him Honest Thomas, because thank God we wouldn't have this story if it wasn't for a guy who was honest enough to say, pardon me, excuse me, I need to know for myself. I need to see for myself. And in that way, sometimes he's a lot like your preacher. Because there are some times in my life that I want to believe, but I just need to see it. Don't act like you're super spiritual. Some of you are looking at me like, yeah, you got a lion spirit too. I'm telling you, the reality is we're all like this sometimes. I want to take your word for it. I want to believe. I want to have faith. But sometimes I've got to have some. I understand faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of. I understand that. But you got to understand also where Thomas was. I think we very easily overlook and pay no mind to the fact that Thomas was one of Jesus' closest friends. And just days earlier, Thomas had watched them brutalize Jesus right before their eyes. You talk about torture and brutal beating. Look at what they put Jesus through right for Thomas and all of his closest friends to witness. You cannot, in my opinion, overestimate what the toll that would have taken on their minds to watch their leader and their closest friend go through a beating like that and a torture like that and be put to death like that, and then to find out that the authorities might be coming after them too. They were in hiding. They were in fear. They were in grief. I know Jesus had told them he was going to rise again, but the reality was they had just witnessed a brutal, brutal murder of their dear friend right before their eyes. So I don't think you can overanalyze or estimate the state of mind and heart that Thomas and the other believers would have been in when they are huddled together. And so Thomas, in my opinion, is just honest enough to say, you know what? He never told them they were wrong. He didn't say, no, you're a liar. You're a liar. That's not, I don't believe you that you saw Jesus. He just said, if I'm going to believe, I've got to see it for myself. Let me take that a step further. Thank God for believers that won't try to ride on the coattails of somebody else's experience. But thank God for believers that'll stand and say, you know what? I want to get a hold of this thing for myself. I want to touch this thing for myself. I want to experience this thing on my own. So while they're testifying, while they're sharing their experience with the resurrected Savior, Thomas just simply lifts up his voice. We got a bunch of bobbleheads in church sometimes. We got people that they have an experience and they may not even believe it, but they're just going to nod their head like everybody else is doing. Feel like preaching a little bit this morning. We got people that had talked in tongues and had a move of God in their life in the Lord knows how long, but they'll sit there like a spiritual elite and just, yep. Thank God for the hunger. I've got to believe that Thomas was hungry, and I've got to believe that Thomas was sincere because he made his request, and we'll find out that Jesus categorically responded to his request. So thank God for the hunger of a man named Thomas that refused to be a bobblehead on Sunday morning testimony service and say, okay, I'll take your word. No, he said, you know what? I want to touch this for myself. I want to know this for myself. I want to see that this is real for myself. And I'm preaching to you this morning that no matter who you are, no matter what you've been through in your life, that Jesus is here to be experienced in a personal way. You don't have to take my word for it. You don't have to take Pastor McCoy's word for it. But you can literally see him for yourself. You can literally touch him for yourself. Be seated. So Thomas makes this profession. He makes this declaration. Unless I can see it for myself, I will not believe. Amen. Some of us are just quiet about our doubt. We're quiet about our uncertainty. But we're talking about Honest Thomas. And Honest Thomas says, I got to know for sure. If I'm going to give my faith to something so extraordinary, something I've never witnessed before, I've got to know for sure. And the Bible says after he made his statement, 8 days went by. 8 days go by. I don't know that there's any significance in the 8 days other than the fact that sometimes, I don't know why, God's sovereign, I don't know why, but sometimes he lets you spend a little while in uncertainty. Sometimes you marinate in all the thoughts in your mind sometimes. Sometimes you just got to spend a little while in your unbelief or uncertainty. I don't know why, but here's what sticks out to me in this text. The Bible says after 8 days, his disciples were together again. So it was another worship service. It was another testimony time. It was another day of worship. The disciples were gathered together again. And Thomas with them. This is so powerful. I don't know how many times I've read this scripture and totally skipped over this and missed the magnitude of what just was said right there. After 8 days, the disciples were together again, and Thomas with them. Thank God for a group of believers that when Thomas had his moment of struggle, they didn't say, all right, Thomas, come here. You're going to have to go find the door. You're not welcome here anymore until you can get your act together and get your faith together. You just go right out here, Thomas, and you just forget about it. No, thank God for a group of believers that said, Thomas, you can keep worshiping right along with us. Thomas, you can... I've got news. Can I help you? Can I just say something to the church folk right now? Not everybody's going to get it when you get it, and not everybody's going to get it in the timeline you got it in. Sometimes you got to be willing to let Thomas just keep showing up. Sometimes you got to be willing to let Thomas just keep sitting on the pew. Sometimes you got to just keep loving him, and you just got to keep welcoming him with open arms. I've been around people that would have kicked Thomas out. They would have excommunicated Thomas. They would have disfellowshipped Thomas, whatever that is. They would have kicked him out the door and sent him packing. If he would have said, I will not believe, they would have said, you know what? You get out of here. You're not welcome anymore in this church. But thank God for a church. Thank God for a church. Thank God for a church that'll love me through my failures. Thank God for a church that'll reach for me when I'm down. Thank God for a church that'll say, you may have had doubt, but you're not going to be doubting, Thomas, until the day you die here, because we're going to see you as what you can be. We're going to see you as chosen of God. Oh, somebody ought to clap your hands. You ought to lift your voice right now. You ought to give God praise for just a minute. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the... Thank God for a church that doesn't kick Thomas out, that lets Thomas keep coming, that lets Thomas keep showing up. And you know what I've got to say this morning? I've got to say kudos to Thomas. Attaboy, Thomas. Thank God that Thomas had enough faith to keep showing up. Thank God that Thomas didn't throw his hands up and say, well, you know what? Everybody else here seems to have this brand of faith and this brand of religion, and I don't have it like that yet. So I guess I just better go somewhere else. Thank God that Thomas knew how to just keep showing up. And he just kept showing up. And he just kept showing.
I'm going to tell you, if Jesus is ever going to show up, he's going to show up among his believers. If he's ever going to show up, he's going to show up where two or three are gathered together in his name. So Thomas, just keep showing up. You may not believe like we got it yet, but just keep showing up. You may not have had the same experience as the one who brought you to church yet, but just keep showing up. You may look around and say, these people are way more radical than I'll ever be. Just keep showing up. You may say to yourself, I've never talked in tongues in my life. Just keep showing up. You may say, you know what? I don't know if I believe it like everything they believe it. Pastor McCoy, I don't know if I see it all the way you see it. Just keep showing up, because sooner or later, Jesus is going to walk on into your life. Thank God for a safe place. Thank God for a city of refuge. Thank God for a house of mercy where you can just keep showing up. Oh, somebody ought to just praise him right now. Somebody ought to give him praise. Ooh. They didn't kick Thomas out. Thomas didn't leave. I don't read that they sat Thomas in the naughty chair. They didn't sit him in the naughty chair and say, you know what? You can come and show up, but, you know, we're going to mark you. You're not like us. You don't understand this Jesus thing like we understand it yet. So you just sit right. No. Is it all right? Said, Thomas, you're welcome. You're welcome. Just keep coming, buddy. Just keep coming. I'm telling you, it's so simple, but I've missed that in that text I don't know how many times. It's so simple, but it's right there. He professed his doubt. He said, unless I have it for myself, I will not believe. And they just let him keep on coming. I am not the pastor of this church. I am not, for you guess, in any position of leadership in this local church. But I know my good friend well enough that I can speak for him in this regard and tell you that this is a safe place. This is a welcoming place. I know my friend, the pastor, good enough to tell you that this is a place you don't have to be perfect to walk in the doors of this place, nor do you have to understand everything about Jesus just like I understand everything about Jesus. But you know what we believe? We believe that the Spirit, if you'll just keep coming, the Spirit's just going to keep drawing. We believe that you'll just keep coming, the Word is going to just keep on working. We believe that if you just keep coming, that sooner or later something's going to happen in your life, just like it happened in his life, just like it happened in her life. Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. You may not get it like I got it just yet, but just keep on coming, because sooner or later Jesus is gonna walk in to your life just like he walked into my life. You know how I know that? Because he's no respecter of persons. He doesn't love me any more than he loves you. He doesn't love you any more than he loves me. No. He loves you just like he loves me. He died for you just like he died for me. I don't have some hierarchy. It's available to you, just like it's available to me. And so if you'll just keep... Come on, church. I didn't plan to spend this much time on this, but I hit a little vein in the Holy Ghost. Don't run them off. Don't run them off. Don't run them off. Don't run them off. That's somebody's soul you're messing with. Don't scare them off. Can I tell you, just love them. Love them. Love them. Be patient with every Thomas God sends your way. Filled with love. Filled with compassion. compassion, filled with mercy for every Thomas God sends your way, because such were some of you, but you have been washed, you have been justified, you've been bought with the precious blood of Jesus, and if it wasn't for the grace of God, you'd be in the same boat. Oh, somebody just clap your hands and give God a shout of praise right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sit down for just a minute. 8 days. Disciples are within. Thomas is with them. Then came Jesus. The scripture says, the door is being shut. And he stood in the midst of. Now, sometimes scripture has a sense of humor if you just watch for it. After 8 days, they're on lockdown. They're afraid that somebody might be coming to get them. They're afraid somebody might accuse them of stealing the body. The doors are shut up. The doors are locked up. They're locked up, man. They're windows shut, doors shut. And then came Jesus. I don't know if he walked through the door. I don't know if he walked through the window. I don't know if he just appeared through the wall. But Jesus came in. And can I tell you something? If I'm in a heightened sense of alert level personally, don't surprise me. Don't sneak up on me. Don't. Don't follow me in the car. Inside joke. You're asking for trouble. The Bible says the doors are all shut. Then came Jesus. I think it's not by accident that the first words that he spoke to them were, "Peace be unto you." Because if I'm on lockdown in my room and the doors or windows and shut, and again, some of you, I can read it on your countenance. You're thinking, man, well, it's not very spiritual of you, Brother Levine. If Jesus shows up, you need to just be welcome. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you what. Something walks through your wall. It may be Jesus Christ himself. I'm going to need peace. Because I will be reaching for one. You feel me? And so he says to them, "Peace be unto you." You don't have anything to be afraid of. You don't have anything to worry about. You don't have anything to be fearful. This is Jesus. Jesus. He says, "Peace be unto you." And then the very next thing he does is he turns to Thomas. He turns to Thomas. He could have turned to anybody else, but he turns to Thomas. Just in case they thought I was just picking on the boys, I'm an equal opportunity offender. You did a good job in your testimony, Michelle. Hey, the reason you couldn't find your notes is because I found them and I used them last night. That's why I said that. I found this notebook and it looked better than what I had, so I figured I'd just go with it. Just kidding. But don't leave it laying around because I might. He turns to Thomas and he says, "Thomas, now just let's just stop right here for a second. The fact that he addresses Thomas first. He did something that is worth noting.
This would set precedent the first time he appeared to all of his disciples post-resurrection. Who would he turn to? Would he turn to the faithful few? Would he turn to those who had already experienced him? Would he turn to those who had not seen but still believed? Would he turn to them and say, good job, man. You guys had faith and you didn't even know for sure that I was alive. Atta boy, man. Here's a bonus in your crown when you get, you know. He didn't turn to them and say, good job. No. He turns to Thomas. He turns to the one that some would have turned to last. He turns to the one who was weak, the one who was stumbling in his faith. He turns to Thomas first. And he addresses Thomas. And when he addresses Thomas, he doesn't say, Thomas, come on. Come on. He doesn't say, Thomas, get it together. I mean, you should know better than this. He doesn't chastise Thomas. He doesn't beat Thomas upside the head and say, come on, Thomas. Yeah, I mean, I chose you. I could have chose anybody. I chose you, hand selected. No. He turns to Thomas in love and in mercy. And he categorically answers Thomas's prayer requests. He categorically responds to Thomas's hunger and desire. Hear what I'm preaching to you today. The presence of God is in this house. And contrary to what some may think, God doesn't show up on a Sunday afternoon at Harvest Ministry just to bless the blessed. God doesn't show up at Harvest Ministries on a Sunday afternoon so the rich get richer and the blessed get more blessing. He doesn't show up on a Sunday afternoon to encourage the strong and to strengthen the faithful. All of that may happen, but let me tell you what he did first after the resurrection. Let me tell you the precedent that he would set. The precedent was simple. He said, I've come looking for Thomas. I've come searching for a Thomas. I've come for one who has wavered in their faith. I've come for one who is not as strong as they once were. Hear this, preacher. I'm just about done preaching. I've come for one who's struggling a little bit. Jesus doesn't come in this room just so those that always get their dance on can get their dance on again. No, he comes for a Thomas. Jesus doesn't just come to this room so that those that had talked in tongues every day this week can have an excuse to talk in tongues again. That's all fine, great, and good. But he comes for a Thomas. He comes looking for anybody who's struggling in their faith. He comes looking for everybody who is weak and anemic in their spirit. And that's why Jesus is in this room this morning. He's on the hunt for every Thomas that can hear my voice. He's on the hunt for every Thomas that's sitting in this place. He's saying, if you're here, I've come for you. If you're here, my presence is available to you. Somebody lift up your voice to the Lord right now. Come on. Lift up your voice to the Lord. Come on. Somebody respond to the Lord right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, he's reaching for you. If your faith is weak, if your faith is wavering, I'm preaching to some people that maybe you're like Thomas, you've been one of the disciples. Maybe you're like Thomas, you've been a believer. Maybe you're like Thomas in more ways than one. Maybe there's been a time in your life where you were devout, where you were a faithful and faith-filled follower of Christ. But yet something's happened. Some circumstances have arisen that have left you hurt and wounded and wondering in your spirit. But can I tell you, Jesus didn't come into this place to smack you upside the head. Jesus didn't come into this place to grab you by the ear and drag you
your carcass to an altar. No, Jesus comes to this place and he simply reaches for you in mercy today. He's reaching for you in love. I don't care who in your life has condemned you. I don't care who in your life has come against you. I don't care who in your life has told you that you're worthless and you're just a repeat offender and you're just going to keep messing up and keep messing up and keep messing up. I'm telling you, Jesus is the one that matters, and he doesn't come to you like that. He reaches with a hand of mercy. And here's what Jesus does. He doesn't make you believe. He doesn't force you into spiritual submission. He doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. Come here, Asher. Come up here. He didn't force you to be a believer. Here's what he does. Come here, buddy, real quick. He simply says, Thomas, I've come for you. Here, stand right there. Here you go, buddy. He says, Thomas, I've come for you. And I mean, Jesus, he was God. He could have done anything. But he doesn't come to this place to force anybody. Hear me when I tell you. Jesus is a gentleman. He'll never force himself on anyone. He's not going to put you in a holy headlock and say, you're going to believe or else. You're going to get it or else. No. He didn't do that. Here's what he does. He simply presents the opportunity of his presence. He shows up in the room with you, Thomas. It's that simple. And he turns his attention like we're feeling right now, like you're feeling right now. Some of you, God's been talking to you ever since I started preaching, and the voice is getting stronger in your spirit. He turns to you with his presence. And he says, Thomas, if you want to believe, here's your opportunity. If you want to be a believer, reach forth your hand and behold my hands. He says, Thomas, if you want to be a believer, reach forth your hand and touch my side. He said, Thomas, the very things you asked to do, the very things you requested, you said, unless I can see it for myself, unless I can touch the print of the nails, he says, Thomas, reach your hand and touch my hands. Feel where the nails pierce my hands. Reach your hand and touch my side. Behold where they pierced my side. He says, and be not faithless, but believing. In other words, Thomas, it's as simple as this. If you'll be willing to reach to my presence, if you'll be willing to respond to the moving of my spirit, you don't have to do anything special. You don't have to pass a 12-question theological quiz. No. If you'll just reach out to me, if you'll just lift your hands, if you'll just lift your hands, if you'll just lift your spirit, if you'll just lift your voice, if you'll just respond to me right now. That's it. Come on. That's it. He says, if you'll just respond to me right now, you're going to touch me. It's as simple as that. And Thomas's reply was one of affirmed faith. When he reached out, he said, my Lord and my God. Come on, as we stand together all over this place, I'm telling you, God has given every person under the sound of my voice an opportunity to reach. God is giving every human being under the sound of my voice. He's not going to make you believe. He's not going to force you into submission. He's not going to make you a believer. God is not going to put you in a holy headlock and drag you to this altar. He is simply sitting here with nail-scarred hands, and he's saying, if you want to be sure, come on, reach out to me. If you want to know for sure, come on, my spirit is here. Jesus is in this room, and he's saying, if your life has been filled with doubt, if your life has been filled with disappointment, if your life has been filled with struggle, come on, this is your moment, this is your time. I invite you to step out of where you're at right now. Jesus is saying, I invite you to reach. I invite you to reach. Come on. You're not joining the membership role of this church by coming forward. You're simply saying, Jesus, I want to reach to you. I'm preaching to some faith-filled believers that have been mired in struggle of various types. Come on, he's saying, if you'll just reach, if you'll just respond to me, if you'll just respond to my presence, if you'll just respond with an uplifted voice, if you'll just respond with a prayer of hunger and a heart of desire expressed through your voice, he's saying, you're going to touch me, you're going to know me, you're going to find me. Come on, I'm inviting everyone that would, everyone that could, to get as close to this altar as you can. I'm inviting every faith-filled believer to get as close as you can. Come on, if you don't need to touch him for yourself, why don't you touch him on behalf of someone else? If you don't need to touch him for yourself, why don't you come pray with someone else right now? Come on, I'm inviting everyone that would to get in this altar and lift up your voice and go to reaching. Come on, everyone that can, everyone that can, if you want to touch him, he's in this place, he's available, he is accessible. I'm preaching to every saint of God that's in a struggle. Every saint of God that's in a struggle. You are not alone. You are not alone. You are not alone. Jesus is reaching for you. Come on, let it flow, let it flow, let it flow. Let prayer, let hunger rise in this place. Hallelujah. Come on, that's it. Let a prayer of hunger rise in this place. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. Just pray. Just seek the face of God. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost, fall in this place. Holy Ghost, fall in this place. Hallelujah. Yes. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, that's it. Pray and seek the face of God. If you're not praying for yourself, find somebody around you to pray with. If you're not praying for yourself, find somebody near you to link up with, to lay hands on, to pray with. Yes. Yeah.